This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight we're continuing with the 14th dhikr from the Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa'. And this is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala hina yusbihu aw yumsi, اللهم إني أصبحت أشهدك وأشهد حملة عرشك وملائكتك وجميع خلقك أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك وأن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever enters the morning or enters the evening, and then he said these words, we're going to explain what they mean. Then النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned a reward. If a person was to say it once in the morning, then Allah Azza wa Jal would free a quarter of him from the hellfire. And if he was to say it two times, Allah frees half of him from the hellfire. And if he says it three times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would free three quarters of him from the hellfire. And whoever says it four times, Allah Azza wa Jal will completely free him from the fire. And this is hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, and it was authenticated by Imam Abu Dawood, wa Nawawi, wa Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, wa Ibn Hajar, wa Shaykh Ibn Baz. May Allah Azza wa Jal bestow His mercy upon them. And there is another narration found in Abu Dawood that the one who says it, his reward, and this is the second virtue for this, whoever says it in the morning, then Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the sins that he committed for that day. And whoever says it in the evening, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the sins that he committed during that evening and that night. And this hadith, that virtue, was also narrated by Abu Dawood with Tirmidhi, and it was authenticated by Abu Dawood, Ibn Hajar, and many other ulama. And it has a third virtue. Whoever says this dhikr, the third virtue that is mentioned, this is found with At-Tabarani in his book Ad-Du'a. And this is the hadith of Abi Sa'id, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qalaha arba'an, kataba Allahu lahu bara'atan min an-nar. Anyone who says it four times, not only that Allah Azza wa Jal will free him from the fire, but also bara'atan min an-nar, he actually has nothing to do with the fire. He's completely disassociated from the fire. Him and the fire don't come together. They don't come together. This is what bara'atun min an-nar means. So it is incredibly powerful dhikr with a huge, huge virtue. And the virtue was huge because of what this dhikr calls to of meanings. Now, it is also important to mention that there are a number of scholars and ulama that weakened this narration, and as a result they do not add it from Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa'. And I did mention before, and I bring to your attention once again, that grading the ahadith, mentioning whether a hadith is sahih or it's weak and so on, this is min al-masa'il al-ijtihadiyah. It's a matter in which there is valid difference of opinion. If a person is a scholar in the sciences of ahadith and he understands this field really well, he can go ahead and do his own grading. But if he's not, like us, we're not qualified in entering the field of hadith and grading a hadith and declaring what's weak and authentic. So what do? In our case, we follow an imam that is qualified. And in this case, we followed these imams that I mentioned to you have declared this hadith as authentic. Well, Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, there is another hadith that is very similar to the one that we read. And it mentions that the one who says it three times in the morning and three times in the evening, and it adds a few more words to the narration that I've given you, and he declared that one authentic. So yani, the majority have mentioned that this is an authentic dua that is to be said four times in the morning, four times in the evening, and it has a beautiful meaning to it, a beautiful implication. And that's why bi-ithnillahi ta'ala we will say that following the imams that authenticated it, it is authentic. And as a result, the believer is supposed to say this one four times in the morning and in the evening also four times. When you say it in the evening, you only change one word, and that is asbahtu. You will change that to amsaytu. That's it. Okay, so let's begin with this dhikr. Of course, the central message of this dhikr, once again, is at-tawheed. Declaring the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal and renewing that every morning and every evening. But however, this time it's with different words and it's to be said four times and it has a different implication. And although this dhikr, or yani through this dhikr, we are going to learn what type of attitude and approach we are supposed to have when declaring at tawheed. That's the new thing that will be found within this dhikr. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من قال حين يصبح أو يمسي. Anyone who says in the morning or the evening, اللهم. اللهم is to call out to Allah عز وجل with all his names. That's what اللهم is. So already powerful start. A person is calling to Allah عز وجل through all the names that we know. Like he's saying, يا عليم, يا حكيم, يا قدير, يا الله, يا رب, يا كريم, يا عفو. Powerful start, اللهم. طيب. What do you want? What do you want to say to Allah Azza wa Jal? Inni asbahtu. Oh Allah, I have entered this morning and in the evening I have entered this evening. Ushhiduka. I call upon you, O Allah, to bear witness. So now what's happening is that you are making Allah Azza wa Jal a witness to your tawheed. You believe that Allah is one. You are making Allah a witness to the fact that you have accepted La ilaha illallah. You're not bringing some kind of lawyer or a friend or a child of yours or someone close to you. You're not videotaping La ilaha illallah and using that as witness. None of this. You are making Allah Azza wa Jal bear witness to this fact. This is huge. I'll tell you the implication it has. Ushhiduka, and from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal is Ash-Shaheed. That's from the names of Allah, that He's the witness, He's the testifier, He's the certifier, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say, announce, tell the people publicly that Allah Azza wa Jal is enough of a witness between you and I, yani between the Muslims and the disbelievers. Allah is a witness upon whose? Upon the truth and who's upon the false. So ishiduka, I make you Allah a witness upon my acceptance of kalimatu tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Then we say, wa ushidu hamalata arshik. You don't only stop at there, you continue. You say, and oh Allah, I also call upon the carriers of your throne to also bear witness to the fact that I have accepted kalimatu tawheed, la ilaha illallah. حَمَلَةَ الْعَرْشِ. You know, the throne is the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation that we know of. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah Azza wa Jal is the Lord of the great throne. It's the greatest of Allah's creation that we know about. Could there be something greater? Allahu A'lam. But what we know about is that the arsh is the greatest. And it is the roof of the creation. That's literally what arsh means. Arsh means a saqf. It means the roof of the creation. And above the arsh is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rose and established upon the arsh in a manner that befits His majesty. That's the arsh. Huge. Who are hamalatul arsh? Who are the carriers of this throne? They are from the greatest of the angels. Ulama rahimahumullah, they mentioned that the number of the angels that carry the throne are how many? Okay, so those that carry the arsh are four. Four carry the arsh at this very moment. Eight is the number of angels that would carry it on the day of judgment. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. On that day, eight will be carrying it. And of course, there are differences of opinion here. Some said that the eight carriers of the arsh are eight right now and on the day of judgment, and it's eight. Some said eight means actually eight rows of angels. And in every row, Allahu A'lam, how many there is. But the more correct opinion, and this is the opinion of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, or Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he said that the vast majority of ulama went to the opinion that four carry it now, and on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will support these four by another four, and as a result, eight will be carrying the arsh. And the arsh is being carried right now. And these hamalatul arsh, the carriers of the arsh, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a description of one of them. He said, أُذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ بِمَلَكٍ مِّن مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he came to the companions, he said to them, I have now been granted and given permission to give you one bit of information about one of the angels that carries the throne. You see how he started? He said, I've been given permission. It means that before this he wasn't given permission. He wasn't allowed to speak and share anything. Why? Perhaps, al-ulama rahimahumullah say, perhaps people won't fathom this. They won't be able to imagine this. They won't be able to comprehend this and accept it. So the people were in need of strengthening their iman in Allah, strengthening their iman in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla is capable of doing anything He wants and creating whatever He wants. So once the people's iman solidified and it became strong, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out with this piece of information. He said to them, مَا بَيْنَ شَحْمَةِ أُذُنِهِ إِلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ مَسِيرَةُ سَبْعِمِئَةِ عَامٍ. The distance between the earlobe of one of these angels that carry the throne, this is the earlobe here, this is شَحْمَةُ أُذُنِهِ, until his عَاتِق. وَالْعَاتِق is in between the مَنْكِب and the عُنُق. So this is the مَنْكِب and this is the عُنُق. والعاتق is right here, right in the middle. So between here and here is a distance of 700 years. In another hadith, 700 years of a bird as it flies and it's flying downwards. So how quick does a bird fly as it flies downwards and keep it going for 700 years? You'll get from here to here. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla's creation. This is one of the carriers of the arsh. And you're saying, وَأُشْهِدُ حَمَلَةَ عَرْشِكَ. And oh Allah, make this angel and these angels that carry the throne, I'm making them bear witness that I say لا إله إلا الله. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. Al-ulama رحمهم الله, they said that one of the carriers of the throne could be Israfil. One of them could be Israfil. There are some strong indications in certain ahadith that will mention that one of the eight carriers would be Israfil. Israfil is the prophet, is the angel that is entrusted with the horn, with the trumpet, and he'll blow that on the day of judgment when people are being resurrected from their grave, and he blows it before that as well for all of the creation to die. And these hamalatul arsh, what's their responsibility? What's their job? Their job is to carry this arsh. And number two, their job is tasbih and dua. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, yusabbihuna. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, alladhina yahmiluna al arsh. Those who are carrying the arsh, waman hawlahu, and the angels that are around them, yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim. They are declaring the perfection and the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. And they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And their second job, they seek forgiveness for the believers. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Imagine that angel that we described, we only had one piece of information. They are carrying this arsh and they are saying, oh Allah, forgive those who have believed. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. They will say, يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. So Allah, forgive those who have repented. This is why if you want the dua of an angel, then the path to that is repentance. Every single time you repent, the dua of the angel is being granted to you. And not any angel, the angel that is carrying al-arsh. And they say, oh Allah, forgive those who are following your path. وَقِيهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. And save them from the fire of hell. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنِ. And they make another dua, say, oh Allah, admit them into the paradise. الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمَ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And they make one more dua. وَقِيهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And save them from their sins. Save them from their transgression and rebellion. And if Allah Azza wa Jal was to save someone from his sins, that means Allah would forgive the sins and He would spare him punishment on the Day of Judgment. So this is what Hamalatul Arsh are doing. And this is a short description of Hamalatul Arsh. And so now going back to this dhikr, when you're saying, Allahumma inni ushiduk, oh Allah, I call out to you. And I want you to bear witness. And I want the carriers of the arsh to also bear witness that I acknowledge and accept kalimatu tawheed. We haven't finished there yet. وملائكتك. And I call upon all your angels. Allahu Akbar. How many angels is there? Allahu A'lam. How many angels there is? Billions, billions. A number cannot count them. Only Allah Azza wa Jal knows how much they are. When you say وملائكتك, now you're saying, and oh Allah, I call upon Jibreel and Mikael and Malak al-Mawt and the gatekeepers of the hellfire and the angels that bring the hellfire. You see, when the hellfire is brought on the Day of Judgment, there are 70,000 chains on it. And on every chain, there are 70,000 angels that drag it and bring it close. So all of these are also included in this وَمَلَائِكَتِكَ. Allah Azza wa Jal has made a house in the paradise. It is called in the heavens, it's called Al-Baytul Ma'mur. And it is mentioned in the Quran, Wal-Baytul Ma'mur. This Baytul Ma'mur, it's a house similar to the Kaaba on earth. In fact, it is directly on top of the Kaaba. So where do you see the Kaaba? Right on top of the Kaaba in the seventh heaven, there is a house there called Al-Baytul Ma'mur, in which when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached that sky, and he met which prophet? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam had his back on Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. It's as though that he built the house on earth, Al-Kaaba, and Allah Azza wa Jal replaced that for him in the heavens with Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. In that house, 70,000 angels enter it every single day from the day it was created. And they worship Allah in it. And then they leave. And the next day, 70,000 enter. And those that came in the first day will never go back to it ever again. Every single day, new angels, 70,000 are entering. The number of angels is huge. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was sitting with the companions, and he said to them, I can hear the sky, the heavens, sky heavens, yeah, because paradise is al-Jannah. The sky heavens is the same word. I can hear them squeaking. Then he said to them, there is not a span of four fingers except that there is an angel with his forehead to the ground making sujood. Ya'ani, the heavens are packed. There's no space. Every four fingers, there's an angel. Four fingers, there's another angel. Ya'ani, that's the only distance between them. And they are all in sujood. Well, angels, these, they are a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Created from light, they don't have any desire, they don't eat, they don't drink, they don't sleep, they don't marry, they are not described as males or females, they are extremely strong, malaikatun ghilavun shidad, they have wings, uli ajnihatin mathna wa thulatha wa ruba', wings, two, three wings, four wings, depends, Jibreel has 600 wings, and they are beautiful looking. That's why when someone looks at someone beautiful, they say he's an angel, right? And even in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. When they looked at the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, that's not a human. In hadha illa malakun kareem. This is a noble angel. So the angels are beautiful in their look and are beautiful in their character and in their quality and in their characteristics. And these angels, they worship Allah all day and night. They do not disobey a single command. And the entire day and the entire night is spent in tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in Surah Al-Anbiya, يسبحون الليل والنهار لا يفترون. They are making tasbih of Allah day and night, لا يفترون, and they don't give up and they don't get tired. Allahu Akbar. What an amazing creation. And you know, all these angels, with all this greatness and goodness that we spoke about, on the day of judgment, they will say to Allah Azza wa Jal, Subhanak ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. They will say, our Lord, perfection belongs to you. Praise belongs to you. We did not worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. But that's their life. Allahu Akbar. So how much does this teach you and I? How much are we in desperate need of Allah's mercy and forgiveness and acceptance? So in this dua now we said, wa malaikatik. So far we're saying, oh Allah, we call upon you. I call upon you this morning. As I enter the morning, I call upon you that you bear witness. And the carriers of the arsh bear witness. And all your angels with all this description bear witness to the fact that I have accepted la ilaha illallah. And we're adding one more thing. وَجَمِيعَ خَلْقِكَ. And I call upon all your creation to bear witness that I testify la ilaha illallah. All your creation. You see, all the creation, it includes the previous two. And I want you to see the sequence here. The carriers of the throne are included in the next word after it, which is malaikatik. And the carriers of the throne and the angels are included in the third one, which is jami'i khalqik, all your creation. So when you say wa malaikatik, you are saying all your angels, and you're saying again hamalatul arsh. When you say wa jami'i khalqik, all your creation, you are also again within that saying the carriers of the throne and all the angels, right? Because they are included in all of Allah Azza wa Jal's creation. So it's as though here al ulama, they say al-dhikr al-khas ba'da aw qabla al-aam. Dhikr al-aam ba'da al-khas. You can say dhikr al-aam ba'da al-khas. What does that mean? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal would mention what's more specific than what's specific than what's general. So jami' khalqik is general, all the creation. More specifically, the angels. And more specifically, the angels that are carrying the throne, right? And why does this happen? Because there is a great emphasis on the angels as opposed to the rest of Allah Azza wa Jal's creation. So this is the idea. You have now, once you said jami'i khalqik, يعني, oh Allah, I call upon you, that all your creation bears witness, يعني, all the creation, al-jinn, the heavens, the earth, the paradise, the hellfire, the prophets, the messengers, the throne, all of Allah's creation that exists above us and below us, and the creation of Allah that we've never seen and no human has ever seen, all of that, I am making it bear witness. أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك. That you are Allah. There is none worthy of worship but you alone. You have no partners. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, a person, when he says this dhikr, he's not only saying la ilaha illallah. Somewhere else later we will say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times. But this one's special. You're not only saying la ilaha illallah. You are making Allah and the carriers of the throne and all the angels and all the creation of Allah bear witness to the fact that you have embraced and acknowledged la ilaha illallah, and you're saying it four times. What does this imply? What attitude should be within the believer when he says this? The implication is, and the attitude is certainty. That's the entire lesson of this whole dhikr, certainty. Let me tell you something. When I am certain of something, I want the entire world to bear witness, right? Let's say I done something. I'm the one that did something. Khalas, naturally, if I did something and I own it, I want the entire world to be a witness of it. Brother, come here, look what I did. And this is what I achieved. Winter come, I did this and I achieved it. I'm proud, I'm happy of it. I want the whole world to bear witness to this fact. So a believer here now, he's proud. He's happy that he has embraced this tawheed. And he's going around, Allah, Allah bear witness to it. There are angels, bear witness to it. Wal angels, wal hamalatul arshan. And then he screams out to Jami'a khalqik. I want the entire creation to bear witness for me on the day of judgment that I screamed out La ilaha illallah from my heart and I had nothing to hide. The entire creation could witness to it. You see this? It instills certainty and it removes every ounce and doubt that is in the heart. Every doubt is ripped out of the heart with this dhikr here. That's what it does. The one who is experiencing a spiritual disease, a sickness, in where he is doubting Allah Azza wa Jal. Is Allah all merciful? Is he all forgiving? Is he knowledgeable? Is he wise? Does Allah exist? Did he create this? Did he create that? Some people are like this. With shaitan feeds them more. Like, who created Allah? Where did this come? These are doubts. This dhikr here slices all that and leaves nothing in there, nothing, nothing at all. This is a person screaming with tawheed. And you know, subhanAllah, you'll appreciate how important this dhikr is, especially in this day and age that we live in. You know, atheism is on the rise. People denouncing all type of religion is on the rise. There is always calls to create a godless society. Just remove people because religion is what is causing a lot of tension and friction and division and murders and oppression and injustice among the people. It's only religion that has brought upon this extreme chaos on earth. This is what the atheist says. So the atheist wants to create a godless society all around the world. Let's get rid of God altogether. So there's not a specific target on the Muslim, on the Christian, on the Jew, on anyone who worships anything, even if it was a stone. We need to disassociate people from everything and make their gods governments. Khalas, the government should be the god and he should be the one that you listen to and you obey and that's it. Then and only we will restore peace and we'll restore law and order back on earth. That's the stupidity and that's the silly idea that is being brought and produced to the world. This is the day and age we live in. So now, how important is it to see this dhikr, especially in this time, among this filth, among this chaos, among this corruption, and among this atheism? You're rising in the morning to say not only La ilaha illallah, but to say, oh Allah, bear witness to it. And your angels and those who carry the arsh and all the creation, I want you to all bear witness that I say La ilaha illallah. The one who says this in the morning, and he says, I want the creation to bear witness. Does he hide his iman? Does he hide his Islam? No. Mata, you want all of creation to bear witness that you're a Muslim. So in other words, a believer comes out strong with his iman. And I don't want anyone to think of me otherwise. I want everyone, even if it is the worst of the kuffar on earth, I want him before anyone to testify that I'm a Muslim and I'm someone who said La ilaha illallah. And this is why in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that al-hawariyin, those the disciples of Isa alayhi salam and the true followers of Isa, they came to the disbelievers and they said to them, قُولُوا شْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. They said to them, okay, go, please, bear witness for us on the day of judgment that we indeed were Muslims. Now, and no problems. We like, it doesn't matter if the media ever came out with an article about the Muslim and whatever it is. Now, no problems. This is good for us. We want them to continue to testify that we are Muslims. So that when we come on the day of judgment here, look, our worst enemies acknowledge that we are Muslims. This is good. This counts in our good record. This helps us on the Day of Judgment. جَمِيعَ خَلْقِكَ Then you need to live. The one who ponders this dhikr and its words, he cannot have any ounce of doubt in his heart. Nothing at all. So you are so certain that you want all the creation of Allah to bear witness. And not only that, Allah Himself to bear witness as well. SubhanAllah, أُشْهِدُكَ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ اللَّهُ So when a believer says this, how can he doubt that Allah exists? How can he doubt that Allah creates? How can he doubt that Allah is the one who decrees all affairs and matters? Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran says that when the prophets came to their people, they said to them, أَفِلَّهِ شَكْ Are you people serious? Do you actually believe that there is doubt in Allah's existence? Yeah, this topic's not even up for debate. It's not even up for discussion. It's a sick topic to discuss whether God exists or not. The Prophet, أَفِلَّهِ شَكْ What's wrong with you people? Everything around you, and everything within you is a proof that Allah Azza wa Jalla exists. So this is the type of belief that the believer is waking up on every single morning, certainty in his heart that Allah exists, and He's the Lord of all things, and He's the creator of all things. And if that's the case, then now He deserves all worship. Because we only worship Allah after acknowledging that He is the Lord of all things, right? أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ The fact that we know الْخَلْقُ belongs to Him, He created all things, automatically وَالْأَمْرُ Now to Him belongs legislation and law. So now we submit. Did anyone else create? If anyone else created us, we'll worship that. But no one created us other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And there was a man once, he was walking in town and people surrounded him. So an old woman noticed that there's a man walking, famous, and there's many people surrounding him. So she asked, who is this person? So they said to her, this is a man that carries with him 1,000 proofs for the existence of Allah. She said, Allahu Akbar, if he didn't have 1,000 doubts in his heart, he wouldn't need 1,000 proofs. So he was made to be something, but in reality, Allahu A'lam, perhaps there were doubts at the time that he needed to clarify to the people. But a person that is upon a fitrah, like what we spoke in our last lesson, أَصْبَحْنَا عَلَى فِطْرَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ The one who wakes up upon a pure faith, a pure religion, untouched, untainted, it hasn't been harmed. He doesn't need 1,000 proofs for Allah's existence. Allah's existence is already there. It's within the person. He doesn't need proof for this. Whether it is, أَفِلَّهِ شَكْ Is there doubt in Allah Azza wa Jalla? It's enough proof. Now, so subhanAllah, this is why the heart must be present when you're saying this dhikr. This is why it's important to understand it. Because when you understand it now, and you read it with every time you say it, you're charged more and more and more until you say it 4 times. Oh, so you've got the maximum charge of yaqeen for that day. You're certain. And you know, iman is levels. Iman is levels. And the highest level of iman is what? Huh? What's the highest level of iman? Huh? No. The highest level of iman. Al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen, certainty. That's the highest level of iman. To be certain that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Lord. And then to believe all His words and His laws and commands and everything else that comes with that. And that is the deen of Al-Islam. Anta Allah. You are Allah. Anta Allah meaning you are the Lord to be worshipped. Then you say, La ilaha illa ant. La ilaha illa ant. There is no Lord worthy of worship except you. So La ilaha illa ant meaning you are declaring that Allah is one in His Lordship, He is one in His worship, and He is one in His names and attributes. No one shares Lordship with Allah. That's what it means that He is one in His Lordship. And no one shares anything with His worship. So when we worship Allah Azza wa Jal, we direct our worship to Him and no one else. Zero, nothing, no one. And then we say one in His names and attributes, meaning no one shares the names of Allah and His attributes. Allah is Al-Khaliq, for example, He's the creator, and no one shares that with Him. He's the only creator. And so on, like this. طيب. Then we say, وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ We're coming to the end of it. وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ وَحْدَكَ You alone. لا شريك لك, no partners to you. But you see, I've mentioned this to you before. وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ is affirmation. It's just an affirmation of the previous sentence. So, think of this. In the previous sentence, we said what? أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَا إِلَهَ, there is no Lord worthy of worship. And that is affirmed by لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. So, لَا إِلَهَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, they come together. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ affirms the لَا إِلَهَ part. إِلَّا اللَّهُ, except Allah, and then وَحْدَكَ, you alone. So وحدك affirms the إِلَّا أَنْتَ part. Because لا إله إلا الله is made up of two parts. There's a negation, there's an affirmation. When you say لا إله, that's negating. That's negating. There is no Lord worthy of worship at all. Negation. And that part is affirmed. When we say لا شريك لك, no partners for you at all. And then the second part of لا إله إلا الله is إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That's the affirmation. Except Allah. And then that is affirmed and confirmed once again with the word وحدك, you alone, right? So there is emphasis in this matter. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, with these words, with this dhikr up until now, you acknowledge at-tawheed and you're renewing your tawheed four times in the morning, four times in the evening. And this is no doubt, it'll have a huge, huge effect on the heart of the believer in strengthening his iman until it reaches the highest level, al-yaqeen. And this is why it had a huge reward. It's huge reward, does it? If you say it four times, you're completely freed from the fire. And the sins that you commit that day are completely wiped away. And the sins you commit that evening are completely wiped away. Why? Because at-tawheed is the key for forgiveness and being freed from the fire. That's why that was its virtue. Because nothing will bring you this virtue more than at-tawheed. Therefore, the tawheed that you declared is in the strongest possible words, with absolute certainty. And so that tawheed, its result naturally is to forgive sins and to also free a person from the hellfire. Now, with this word, la ilaha illa ant, this word, kalimatul tawheed, it also brings a lot of comfort to the peace, a lot of comfort and peace to the heart, mind and soul. It does. This word, la ilaha illallah. So as you're reading this dhikr, you're not only ascending to reach the highest level of al-iman, which is yaqeen, but at the same time, if you're disturbed, if you're worried, if there was something that's stressing you out, it should also bring down peace and tranquility and coolness and happiness and delight upon the heart. And notice something in Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an observation. Almost every single dhikr and dua that was taught to us by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are supposed to say during a calamity has la ilaha illallah in it. Every dua and dhikr that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us and recommended, say it in a time of tribulation and calamity, somewhere within it has la ilaha illallah. Yani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كان يقول عند الكرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he's afflicted by calamity, he would say لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم, لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم, لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. See how many لا إله إلا الله was in it. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he teaches أسماء بنت عميس that if you are in an extreme tribulation and calamity, say الله الله ربي لا أشرك به شيئا. That's لا إله إلا الله. Look at the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says the dua of the one who is his intense calamity is the words of Yunus. Yunus alayhi salam's word in the belly of the whale was what? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Once again. Why? You notice every dua and dhikr that is recommended to say in an extreme calamity had la ilaha illallah in it. Why? Because in a calamity, the heart is shaking. It's trembling. It's in fear. It's in worry. It's in panic. It's in chaos. And so this heart was created for la ilaha illallah, right? The human being was created for la ilaha illallah. So once you occupy your heart with la ilaha illallah, once you occupy it with that which it was created for, And you continue to repeat La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, Allah, Allah, Rabbi la ushriku bihi shay'a. And now what are you doing? You are getting busy with what the heart was created for. So what happens? It begins to settle because it's doing what it was created for. Yani like a fish, you know a fish. It was created and made to sail and work smoothly into the ocean. If you pull out the tail of a fish and rip it out of the water, what happens to it? It shakes violently, it trembles. It wasn't made for outside the water. Put it back in the water and it settles. The heart, when it's moved away from La ilaha illallah, you've taken it out of its environment. It begins to shake, it's unsettled. A person is losing it. Take yourself back into the environment, bring the environment to your heart, which is La ilaha illallah, and the heart begins to rest and it begins to settle. Ala bi dhikri Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. It is only through the dhikr of Allah, and the greatest of dhikrullah is La ilaha illallah, in which the hearts find rest and peace and tranquility. Right, so that's the ID. So as you're saying this dhikr, you're increasing your certainty, and at the same time, it's bringing a lot of relief and peace to the heart. But you can never ever experience that until you know what you're saying. Now I've explained to you, you can take some of that explanation and you continue to repeat this, and bi-idhnillah, you feel its effect. As al ulama rahimahumullah, they said, the one who says al-dhikr without knowing its meaning, it has little to no effect on him. As opposed to the one who says al-dhikr and knows what it means, it'll have a dramatic effect in his life. And the more you learn about this dhikr, and the more you engage with this dhikr, and we're supposed to say it four times. So when you say it first time, you're thinking something. You say it the second time, you're increasing your pondering and reflection over it. You say it a third time, you're really understanding what you said. You say it a fourth time, Allahu Akbar, that probably will have the dramatic effect on you. That's the idea. And then finally, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُكَ وَرَسُولُكَ. And you are also calling upon Allah to bear witness. And the angels and the carriers of the throne and all the creation to also bear witness that you accept Muhammad as being a slave of Allah and a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it mean to say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? It means four things. Without these four things, or even one of them missing, you're not true in this testimony. Number one, to obey him in all his commands. If you want to say that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must obey him in all his commands. So those who wipe away the sunnah from their life, they have failed from the first one. Number two, to keep away from all the prohibitions. Number three, to believe him in everything that he informed us, such as when he informed us about the distance from the earlobe to the shoulder of one of the angels is 700 years. Must believe in every piece of information he gave us that is related to the past and related to the future and the day of judgment and the paradise and so on. And the fourth one, that Allah is only to be worshipped through that which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam legislated and taught us. Anything else would be considered an innovation, and you are not true to Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then, if you notice this last part, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُكَ وَرَسُولُكَ. Why was عَبْدُكَ mentioned before رَسُولُكَ? Why was the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described as a slave of Allah before he was described a messenger? Here, the ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, so that we Muslims, followers of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't fall into extremism, like how the Jews and Christians fell into extremism. They followed Isa to the point where they said, Khalas, Isa is the son of Allah. And they followed, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ. The Jews, they said, Uzair is the son of Allah. And the Christians said, الْمَسِيحُ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لَا تَطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَى عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not exaggerate in praising me. Don't do that. There's a limit. Don't do it like how the Christians praised the son of Maryam to the point where they said, he is the son of Allah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I am only a slave of Allah. So, then he said to the people, so, call me the slave of Allah and his messenger. He's the one that told us, say Abd first, then say Rasul afterwards. Why? Because that's going to teach you and I not to exaggerate in the praising. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a limit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and a prophet, and we follow him. He is not the son of Allah azza wa jal, and none of this sort. We don't reach يعني, that point now. And يعني, of course, نحن, we said that from the virtues of this dhikr is that it wipes away sins. Didn't we say that from the beginning? That's what we're going to conclude with. The majority, I tell you something, it wipes away sins. The majority of the adhkar that earn a person forgiveness of his sins also have la ilaha illallah in them. Yani a lot of the adhkar and the dua for calamity have la ilaha illallah in them. And many of the adhkar and dua that promises a complete forgiveness also have la ilaha illallah in them, which is why this was its virtue. And take this hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, give me advice. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِذَا عَمِلْتَ سَيِّئَةً فَأَتْبِعْهَا حَسَنَةً تَمْحُهَا. If you do any kind of sin, سَيِّئَةً, this is nakira, يعني it's indefinite, meaning any sin, major, minor sin, whatever it is, follow it up with a good deed and it'll wipe it away. That's what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave of advice. Perfect. Then Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, may Allah reward him for this question, this follow-up. He said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, is la ilaha illallah a good deed that I can do and follow it up with this bad deed? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say yes. He said to him, هِيَ أَفْضَلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. It is the best of the good deeds. Why is that the case? Because the best of the good deeds are the obligatory deeds, right? And the best of the obligatory deeds is the first pillar of Islam. That's why it was the first one, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, is the word of At-Tawheed. Therefore, when a person falls into a sin, rush into saying La ilaha illallah. If you've got no other words to say, say La ilaha illallah first and foremost. This hadith, it slices, it cuts away all the sins and every temptation and desire that's in the heart. Any kind of attachment you had to other than Allah, to a sin, to a desire, هذا لا إله الله cuts it away straight away. When Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever says, أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه, says it three times, it will wipe away all his sins, even if he ran away from the battlefield. Running away from the battlefield is a major sin. Therefore, this dhikr said three times, alongside the conditions of a tawbah, completely remove all the sins, even if they were major. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us Sayyidul Istighfar, the best words to say when seeking Allah's forgiveness, what was that? How does it start? Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta. Once again, it had the words of At-Tawheed in there. Naam. So through this dhikr, we are renewing our shahada every single morning four times and in the evening four times. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us acceptance. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast upon righteousness, upon worship, and upon la ilaha illallah until the day we meet Him. Innahu wa liyu thalika wal qadiru alayh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.